WKAR's Studio S at Michigan State University, this is Current Sports.
Are you staying warm, folks? I hope you are. It is frigid, freezing cold out there. I believe the wind chill is about negative 20. That's just... Oh, man. I'm actually rocking my North Face and my Detroit Tiger Scully in the studio today, if you could see it. It's freezing. I hope you all are staying warm. This cold is certainly no fun. I actually think that U of M, University of Michigan, canceled classes for today, and there were a lot of my Twitter blew up because there were a lot of angry students, if you will, that were not too happy that they had to go to school today. But hey, it happens. Welcome to Current Sports. 1 o'clock has rolled around once again on this January 28th, 2014. I am your host, Al Martin. Man, do we have a show in store for you all. You know it's Tuesday, and we always love to have fun on the show each and every Tuesday due to our top five Tuesday segments. And you know what? I was just sitting around yesterday and thinking, oh, man, what top five haven't we done? We've done so many here on the show. And I started thinking about the Grammys and Beyonce and Jay-Z and, you know, Kendrick's performance with Imagine Dragons and the Beatles. And, you know, it was such a great night. And I said, you know what? There are many athletes out there who actually try their hand at music. Many, many out there. I mean, I could go from, you know, from Kobe Bryant, you know, to Roy Jones, Bernie Williams. I mean, there's so, so many. And I thought to myself, you know what? It'd be kind of cool if we had a top five Tuesday segment on the top five athletes / artists of all time. So you know what? That's our top five Tuesday for today. How about that? Yes, the top five artists / athletes, that had success at it and who tremendously failed at their hand at music. We're gonna give you our list. Matt and Alex are gonna join me later on in the show. And we encourage you all to call in 517-355-9527. Again, that number is 517-355-9527. And give us your list. Any memorable artists / athletes that you remember who are successful at it or were bad at music. Give us a call and if you don't agree with our list or if we forget somebody, give us a call and share your thoughts on it. You can also go to our Facebook page at facebook.com/currentsports and even tweet me at Al Martin WKAR. I'm looking at my Twitter page right now. I've actually sent out a tweet before the show started, and we have a tweet from Sierra Williams who says that Shaq. She just put Shaq. Yes, Shaq is certainly on my list. I tell you that, and probably all three of our lists because he definitely tried his hand at the whole hip hop rap. If you will. So again, 517-355-9527. Also, later on in just a second on today's show, we'll be chatting with Tom Minkle, who is the head MSU wrestling coach. He will be talking about the season as the MSU wrestling team is really, really struggling, to say the least, right now, still searching for their first Big Ten win. And we'll also talk about a man who it really has the world of basketball talking, Kevin Durant. He's been on a scoring binge, folks, and recorded his 11th straight 30-plus point game last night. He's unbelievable right now. He went for 41 and nailed the game winner to push his Thunder over the Atlanta Hawks last night. I mean, we're going to talk about it and kind of compare his whole stint, his scoring binge, to some of the great scorers of all time and where he ranks. So Kevin Durant is certainly special. If you want to give your thoughts on that, again, 517-355-9527. Also, MSU and Iowa, they get it on tonight on the hardwood. We'll give you a preview of that one as well. But in the meantime, let's kick off the show, as we always do, with your current sports quick hit headliners for this January 28th, 2014. All right, Jim Schwartz. It hasn't taken long for former Detroit Lions head coach Jim Schwartz to find a job. Now, he is signed to be the Buffalo Bills defensive coordinator. Schwartz was introduced to the Buffalo media on Monday, where he committed to running an aggressive, physical attacking defense, saying, "We're an attack scheme. It's a scheme built on guys up front getting after quarterback. As much as you want to be multidimensional with personnel groups, this league comes down to one-on-one, and I think we have some guys that can do that." Now, Schwartz inherits a very talented group in Buffalo that finished last season actually 10th in total defense, 4th against the pass, and 2nd in sacks, dropping opposing quarterbacks 57 times. So a very good defense that Schwartz has taken over. And if they don't measure up to that success next year, we know whose fault it is. All right, Linehan, the Cowboys, folks. The Dallas Cowboys, I tell you what, you know, my Cowboys are my second favorite NFL team in the league. The Dallas Cowboys, though, they will have their third offensive play caller in as many years with Scott Linehan joining the coaching staff as passer game coordinator. Now, Linehan spent 2009 to 2013 as the Detroit Lions offensive coordinator, piloting one of the most prolific passing games in the NFL, led by Matthew Stafford and Calvin Johnson. In 2005, he worked with Jason Garrett for a year with the Miami Dolphins as the offensive coordinator under Nick Saban and Garrett as the quarterback's coach. Now, the two have remained close as ever since. All right, more news from the Detroit Lions. Overall season ticket holders will see an average increase of 8.2% to their overall season ticket packages, but due to dynamic pricing, we'll be paying 70% less for preseason games. Now, the Lions' average tickets will be $83.36 this season, and according to the team, will make them no higher than 25th in the league in average ticket pricing. Now, part of what the Lions have done is also move to a, quote, variable ticket pricing system, which gives the team three tiers of tickets. It means a massive decrease in ticket pricing for preseason games, but a slightly higher cost for mid-range and high-level games, including Thanksgiving and any other primetime matchups the team might play in. So they're raising ticket prices for the regular season, but in comparison to other teams in the NFL, they still ranked no higher than 25th in the league when it comes to average ticket pricing. So there you have that. Some Mid-Michigan local news concerning Travis Smith. Michigan High School Football Player of the Year Travis Smith is taking his talents to North Carolina. Now, the former Ithaca QB decommitted from Toledo and will sign with Wake Forest. Now, Smith went 41-0 as a starting QB and threw for 42 touchdowns to just 7 interceptions last season. From Terry Hesbrook, a friend of the show, he said, anytime you have the opportunity to play at the highest level, you have to take it. Not only is he going to one of the top conferences in the country, he's getting an opportunity to go to one of the top universities in the country. So congrats to Travis Smith. Wish him all the luck in the world as he goes, says he's going to Wake Forest. All right. Other recruiting news, Malik McDowell, Michigan's top-ranked football prospect for 2014, has narrowed his list to 4: Michigan, Michigan State, Florida State, and Ohio State. Now, the 6'6", 292-pound defensive lineman visited MSU over the weekend after canceling an official visit to LSU. Now, the Tigers, along with Alabama and Florida, have been removed from consideration. McDowell is considered a 5-star prospect on Rivals.com and will boost the class of whichever school he chooses. National signing day is February 5th. All right, some news from the MLB. Major League Baseball approved the implementation of a protective cap for pitchers looking to shield the hurlers from line drives. Now, the cap have special plates to protect the forehead, temples, and sides of the head. The caps will be available for testing during spring training on a voluntary basis. Now, major and minor leaguers will not be required to wear them, but will have the option to do so during play. So I think that's long overdue. Definitely love to see that in the game, making the game safer. All right, MSU in Iowa tonight, ladies and gents. MSU basketball travels to the 16-4 Iowa Hawkeyes tonight following the loss to their rival Michigan on Saturday. Tip-off is 7 p.m. on ESPN. Point guard Keith Appling vowed that he will not sit out against Iowa tonight, regardless of the pain that he's been experiencing, saying, This is him. We already have two of our key players down, Appling said on Monday, of the injuries to teammates AP and Brandon Dawson. If I choose to sit out, I mean, who knows what would happen. So, again, MSU and Iowa tonight, 7 p.m. on ESPN. Also, Wings and Flyers tonight, the Detroit Red Wings, they travel, like the Spartans, to Philadelphia to face off against the Flyers. Now, Red Wing captain Henrik Zetterberg will not travel because of a back injury, and Red Wings GM Ken Holland also said that Pavel Datsyuk will not travel with the team as well. Now, Datsyuk has he last played on January 1st and has been out due to a lower body injury. And the Pistons, they are in action as well. The Pistons will take on the Orlando Magic, highlighting emerging centers Nikola Vucevic and Andre Drummond. Now, Orlando beat the Pistons in their last meeting, 109-92, led by Vucevic's 20 points and 11 rebounds, a double-double for him the last time they met. Now, in the last 11 games, Drummond has averaged 12 points and 14 rebounds per game. So Drummond has been great. Again, that tip off, they tip off tonight, Pistons and Magic. So Pistons and Magic, you got MSU basketball, Red Wings. It should be a great night to sit on the couch and watch some sports. Well, those are your current sports quick hit headliners. If you want to call in and share your thoughts on any of those, you can call in at 517-355-9527. Again, 517-355-9527, and share what's on your mind. You can also go to our Facebook page at facebook.com/currentsports and even tweet me at Al Martin, WKAR. Now, again, I want to remind you all that Current Sports TV tapes tomorrow night at 6 p.m. And tomorrow night I'll be sitting down. I have the pleasure of sitting down with the athletic director of Lansing Community College, Greg Malik. Greg, a great guy. He's been on the show before. We actually had him this past summer as he talks about the new things that he wants to do with Lansing Community College athletics and also comparing the interesting dynamic when it comes to recruiting to that of Division I sports. When you have a community college like Lansing Community College competing with schools like Michigan State for the big-time recruits, it's an interesting dynamic that Greg and I will definitely be diving in. Again, you can be a part of the live studio audience that we tape each and every single week. Just go online at WKAR.org and sign up. It is totally free, folks. I love seeing your smiling faces. So definitely looking forward to that. And again, we're encouraging you all to call in today. As we're having a little fun today, as we always do, one of my favorite times of the week on here on Current Sports, our Top 5 Tuesday segment, the Top 5 Athletes/musical artists of all time. Yes, athlete. There's so many athletes that tried their hand at music and, you know, hip hop and, you know, jazz. I mean, I could go on and on and on. We want to know what your list looks like. Pick up that phone, 517-355-9527. Again, we will definitely open the lines and dive into that. We have some interesting ones from me, Alex, and Matt. Should be a fun segment later on in the hour. And also, I want to remind you all that we're going to talk about Kevin Durant. Guys, Kevin Durant, if you've been living under a rock, Kevin Durant has been on one of the most incredible tears that I have ever seen in basketball. Again, he had his 11th straight 30-plus point game last night. Not only did he throw up 41, he nailed the game winner to push the Thunder past Atlanta. I mean, the guy can take you inside, outside, around, back, and throw a dunk on you. I mean, can post you up. It's unbelievable. It's unbelievable what he's doing. We're going to compare his scoring binge right now to that of some of the greatest scorers of all time and see where it ranks. So, again, 517-355-9527. Well, let's get to our guest for today's Current Sports. It's my pleasure to welcome a man who has truly made his mark in the world of wrestling. Now, MSU head wrestling coach in his 23rd year, Tom Minkle. He has a resume that is one of the most impressive in the country, folks, highlighted by numerous international coaching experiences. Minkle's travels have taken him to more than 40 countries and have cemented his reputation as one of the top coaches in the sport. Tom, welcome to Current Sports. How you doing?
Hey, very glad to be with you. I'm doing good.
Definitely. Well, Tom, first of all, let's dive into the season right now. Now, Tom, you guys sit, MSU Wrestling sits at 5-8 overall, still searching for your first conference win. How would you assess your squad right now, and what isn't clicking?
Well, it's not a matter, you know, of really clicking or not. I've got a fairly young team, and we're in a conference, and we're in a stretch in our schedule where we're wrestling, you know, the best teams in the country, you know, and so you put those two things together, and we're struggling a little bit. You know, the key thing for us right now is, you know, making sure that we don't get discouraged, that we're still, staying positive and working on our skills and making progress. And I've got a young team that's really doing some nice things. So, So even though it, we've struggled a little bit against some of the best teams, you know, we're going to be just fine.
Now, Tom, you talk about having a young team. You know, I've talked to many coaches about that interesting dynamic. And I got to ask you, how do you try to combat that lack of experience, if you will, as a coach?
Well, you know, it's a tough thing because experience makes you better. And so you go, okay, well, how do I get better without competing? And, you know, in wrestling in particular, there's the power level from, 18 to 23 is just, it's so significant, but it plays such a big role in wrestling. You know, if you're, you're just out of high school, you're 18 years old, you're not really an adult man yet, as you are when you're, 22, 23. So, it's just hard to overcome in a combat sport like wrestling where power level, makes such a big difference. But
right,
it's a matter of, staying in the right weight room, staying on task, working on your skills and getting the experience you need to make it work, as you get stronger and as you get better.
Now, Tom, this past weekend, you all fell to U of M in Illinois. Going back to that U of M meet, I mean, what did you tell your team? You talk about, trying to make sure they're not getting discouraged, meet by meet. And what did you tell your team after that one? Because I know it had to hurt a bit more, knowing that the loss came against MSU's biggest rival.
Well, that's the case. But at the same time, we probably wrestled our best duel of the year at Michigan. I mean, they won, a lot of the close matches, but by no means did they feel that they were able to coast through that duel. We took them to the fence, in almost every match. And it was a great crowd. It was a great duel. We score a couple more points in a couple more matches, and we win that duel. So, you can't just look at the score. Sometimes the score is a little bit misleading, but our kids fought really hard. Tough place to wrestle down there, but it was a great duel, and we, I think, learned a lot and came out of it a little bit stronger.
You know what, Tom? If there is any silver lining, I want to talk about senior Mike McClure for a second. I know, he recorded a 6-1 decision over heavyweight Chris Lopez against Illinois, and on Friday actually took down number one Adam Kuhn of Michigan. I mean, how big has Mike been for you all?
Well, Mike is, again, a kid who's, stayed on task. He's in his fifth year, and, he's worked hard. He wasn't the starter the first few years, but now, I mean, seriously, he will contend for a national championship for us. He's just as good as they get, and, hardworking, he's strong, he's focused, he's a good student. Mm-hmm. He's just an all-around good kid, but... that was a huge win for him. Adam Kuhn was 23-0 at the time. And Mike not only beat him, but he beat him soundly and beat him in Ann Arbor. So it was a good win for Mike, but in a step towards his goal, which is to be, the Big Ten champ and NCAA champ.
Now, what was Mike able to do that, others who have gone against Adam Kuhn weren't able to do? What was Mike able to do in that match?
Well, Adam is an outstanding wrestler. When he was in high school, he trained, in our club here actually for a lot of years. But he's big and he's strong. And Mike was able to kind of wear him down a little bit. Most of the scoring happened in the last, minute or so. But basically, he tried to kind of wrestle away from his power a little bit He just did a great job. It was a great match.
Yes, it certainly was. Ladies and gentlemen, if you're just now joining us here on Current Sports, we're talking with MSU head wrestling coach Tom Minkle. Now, Tom, have the goals and expectations shifted now at all? What are your expectations now for the rest of the season?
Well, the nice thing about wrestling is, it's a combination of team sport and individual sport. Mike McClure is, in the hunt for a national championship and we've got other kids who, this is their first year in the lineup and who are just really trying to do well at the Big Tens and hopefully get to the national championship. So it's a little different than, a team sport where it's, you're all in it for the same goal, even though everybody here is aspiring to the same thing. Mm-hmm. We might have one kid who's in the national finals and another kid who's just getting some matches. So, it's a great thing about the sport. It's, you're in a team, you're on a team, and you've got those team challenges and team victories. But at the same time, as an individual, you can shoot for the stars.
And you talk about that dynamic of, you know, even though it is a team sport and you guys are part of a team, but, I mean, there's so many individual aspects to it. I mean, does that change the way, you know, comparing it to other sports like a football or basketball, that changed the way you approach coaching?
Well, you know, the interesting thing about wrestling is that it's you know, everything falls on you. I mean, it's just you and another guy, mm-hmm. and an official, so you can't, you know, you can never blame somebody else or, you know, say that, you know, they didn't throw me the ball or I was on the other side or the coach didn't put me in.
Right.
You know, I mean,
right.
there are no excuses. It's you and another guy, and if he beats you, you know, and he beats you up physically in front of a crowd, you know, that's pretty humbling. And likewise, you know, you have the opportunity to beat him up, but there are, you know, there aren't any excuses in wrestling. It's just you and another guy. If you and I square off, there's a winner and a loser, and there's nobody else to blame but yourself. So that's it. You know, maybe the greatest thing about the sport is that, you know, it's just you, and there's such a strong correlation between how hard you work and how well you do, maybe more in wrestling than any other sport.
That is so true. And Tom, you probably beat me 9 out of 10 times, I tell you that.
Well, I hope so.
Now, Tom, you guys are all preparing for Penn State this Friday at Jenison. I mean, what are you
Actually,
expecting?
I would be shooting for 10 out of 10.
Exactly. See, I love that. That's the competitive spirit. That's the eye of the tiger, baby. Now, Tom, again, for Penn State this Friday, what are you expecting from the Nittany Lions?
Well, you know, Penn State is the gold standard in college wrestling right now. You know, Cale Sanderson is a great coach and was, you know, one of the great college wrestlers of all time. He's an Olympic champ, and you know, Penn State has huge support for wrestling. They've won the national championship, NCAA championship, the last 3 years in a row, and honestly, you know, no one's come close to them in a while. So we know that they're good. We know, you know, that this is the, you know, this is the best team in the country. And so our goal, though, is, you know, we have to really not wrestle their reputation, not wrestle their record, not wrestle their coach, you know. But what we have to do is just simply match at a time. We've got to keep good position. We've got to keep good pressure. You know, we gotta wrestle our match and not wrestle a, you know, a school or a reputation or something that's bigger than that. And so that'll be our focus, and that is our focus this week. Is, you know, let's control what we can control, and that's pretty much, you know, our wrestling.
And that's this Friday, right? Is it 7 p.m. at Jenison?
7 p.m. Jenison Fieldhouse.
There you go. Now, Tom, before I let you go, I want to go back and let's take a trip back in time for just a sec. Because, again, you have one impressive resume throughout your wrestling career. And something that really stands out to me is that you were actually the head coach of the U.S. Olympic wrestling team back in the 1992 Barcelona Olympics in Spain. Talk about that experience.
Well, you know, that was kind of the culmination of my international, you know, coaching and wrestling experience. I was on the Olympic team in 1980 as an athlete. Mm-hmm. And but you know, if your history is good, that's the year the United States boycotted the Olympics because the Soviet Union had invaded Afghanistan. And so, mm-hmm. you know, Jimmy Carter said, "Well, we're going to protest that by not competing in the Olympics." And then 1984, the Olympics were in Los Angeles, and then the Russians boycotted our Olympics in order to get even. And, you know, so even though I made an Olympic team, I actually never wrestled in the Olympics because of the, you know, the politics.
Oh, wow.
But then in 1988, well, and actually after I retired in 84, you know, I got into, you know, USA Wrestling asked me if I would coach, and I basically, from 84 to 88, was the assistant, you know, Pan Am World and Olympic coach. And then from 84 to 92, I was the, you know, the head coach for the Pan Ams and the World Championships and the Olympics. And so in 92, actually, that's when I finished my international career as a coach, and that was at the Olympic Games in Barcelona, Spain.
You know, Tom, I want to ask you, how humbling was that? I mean, to be the head coach, you know, of a wrestling team on an international stage at the Olympics. I mean, how humbling was that experience for you?
You know, honestly, that's about as good as it gets. You know, the scope of the Olympics, you don't really fully, I think, appreciate it until you're at the Olympic Games and you march in the opening ceremonies and you know, you live in the Olympic Village and you see. Maybe the best thing is that you have dinner in the dining hall with the greatest athletes from the whole world. And so you have all these, you know, hundreds of languages and hundreds of athletes and just the, and some of the finest, you know, athletes in sports, you know, that you don't even pay much attention to. And,
right.
So it's just, it really is one of the world's best experiences in terms of athletics. And I'm just, you know, I've been very privileged to be, you know, to have been a part of it for, you know, for a while.
Yeah, without a doubt. And Tom, you also created U.S. wrestling history, actually leading the USA to a bronze medal in the 1992 Olympics that year. The highest finish ever by a USA team in Greco-Roman competition. I mean, what made that team so special?
You know, it was a special group of guys, you know, and again, it's like any wrestling team or maybe any team at all. You know, sometimes you just get it right. You know, you got great motivation, you got great athletes. Mm-hmm. You know, things just kind of click, and that was, you know, that was the case. And you know, I'm just I was just really, you know, really privileged to be a part of it, and you know, help steer that effort. And and so it's something that's, you know, a very fond memory of mine.
Yes, and Tom, of course, the talk of the town during that Olympic era was certainly what many consider to be the greatest team ever assembled. The U.S. Olympic men's basketball team, dubbed the Dream Team. Did you run into any of the greats like Jordan, Barkley, Magic, Bird at all?
You know, no, I never ran into, you know, the basketball, basketball guys, but you know, we certainly followed them. You know?
right.
You know, so, but no, never met them. But you know, I did meet Muhammad Ali, who was the he led the opening ceremonies, and there were, of course, a lot of celebrities around. But
what was that like, meeting Ali?
Well, you know, it's funny. I met him. Yeah, you know, I met him many years earlier when he was still competing, and you know, I happened to be at a hotel where he was getting ready for his fight with Evangelista, I think the guy's name was, and I met him. I met him in an elevator, and it was just him, and he was he was like early in the morning, and he was going down to run, and he. And I happened to go down the elevator with him. It was just him and I, and I, you know, and I was like stunned.
You know? I would have been so nervous.
I introduced myself, and he said, well, he was sneaking out to run because he was trying to get away from his bodyguards. He said, the only time I can get away is if I get up early and run. So, so he was going out for a run, but we talked a little bit, and so he invited me. You know, and actually, me and my wife to join him for dinner up in his. You know, they had the top floor of the hotel, and anyway, but it was just you know, just an awesome experience. And so then I got to see him, you know, later. You know, his health was, you know, struggling a little bit, but still, it's one of those people when you see him, because he was such a, you know, such a monumental figure. Right away, you felt like you knew him. You know, you just felt like, oh, I know this guy, but you don't really.
Right.
You know? But it was, you know, just kind of a random coincidence, but really awesome.
Wow, what a story, Tom. My goodness. All right, before I let you go, you know, Tom, a little birdie has told me that actually you bring a pet bird to every practice. Is that true?
Tell you the truth, she's sitting on my knee.
Get out. Right as we speak, the bird is sitting on your knee.
Yeah, I have, when I was... you know, when I was a kid, my family, my dad worked in South America a lot. So I spent 3 years of my childhood, and 2 years in Guatemala and a year in Venezuela, and got kind of interested in parrots. I mean, parrots are really part of their culture. And so, you know, well, 16 years ago, I saw an ad for this macaw, and she's a kind of a rare bird, but she's about 4 feet long from her.
Wow.
Her beak to her, the end of her tail, and
4 feet long.
Yeah, and so she comes to practice every day, and they're social animals. They need to be in a community. Like, you can't just put them in a cage. So if you have one, you have to incorporate them into your life. So
wow.
So she comes to work with me every day and just kind of hangs out.
Does she fly around while people are practicing?
No, her wings are, you know, her wings are clipped, so
okay.
She can, you know, she can fly a little bit, but you know, I don't encourage it because obviously we don't want her to, you know, get loose. And she doesn't want to get away, but if she, you know, if she caught a gust of wind, you know, that you could lose her. So
wow.
She.
What's her name? What's her name, Tom?
Well, her name is Indigo.
Indigo, gotcha.
Yeah, and she's solid blue. Actually, She's blue and gold. So I get a lot of grief for having a blue and gold parrot. But yes. The good thing is when she gets wet, if I give her a shower, she turns an iridescent green. So I know that she's green at heart.
Keep her wet. Keep her wet. Can she talk at all?
Oh, yeah. She has about a 15-word vocabulary, and you know, she just kind of chatters along when you're talking.
That is really, really cool stuff. All right, well, Tom, we'll let you go. We'll let you and Indigo go. Tom, wish you all the luck this week against Penn State. Thanks for joining me today.
All right, my pleasure. Nice talking to you.
All right, that was Tom Minkle, the head wrestling coach of Michigan State. They are searching for their first conference win. They will be taking on Penn State at Jenison Fieldhouse, 7 p.m. This Friday. Wow, that is really cool stuff. All right, well, let's hit the break. When we come back, I'm going to give you a quick preview of MSU in Iowa. They tip off tonight, as well as talk about Kevin Durant's scoring binge and give you the top five artists and athletes of all time. Don't go anywhere. Current Sports, we'll be right back. Moment of silence for the champion. They say we warriors. They say we did it again. Hands high for the champion. We are victorious. We only in it to win. Stand up for the champion. No surrender, no retreat. We take the battlefield over every time. Clap your hands for the
On s'est connus, on était gosses, c'était mon premier love. Bien avant le basket, mon premier titre, toujours ensemble. À l'époque, on était croque l'un l'autre. On était jeunes, on était fous, à qui la faute, on était rien sans l'autre. On était simple, on était deux, on pensait un. Un seul amour, un seul avenir, un seul chemin. Et je me rappelle quand je te serrais dans mes bras.
Wow, you know, that was really, really smooth. Folks, that was Tony Parker, the point guard of the San Antonio Spurs. I don't know what the name of the song is, but today we're giving you our top five athletes / artists of all time, and we'll be playing, you know, artists who have, you know, tried their hand at music throughout the entire show. That's Tony Parker. Wow. I don't know what he was saying, but it sounded pretty smooth. That wasn't bad. That wasn't bad. All right. Before we go into that Top 5 Tuesday segment, of course, MSU and Iowa. They tip off tonight. MSU trying to shake off that loss to rival Michigan and get back on the winning track of things. Alex and Matt now. Matt, you're back, man. How's it feel? It's been a week, man.
It's been a long week. Yeah. I'm kind of glad I missed yesterday so we didn't have to dissect that Michigan game in depth. Yeah. But it's good to be back. Regardless, it's good to be back. Yeah. Looking to get back in the swing of things.
Definitely. Yeah, we had about 7 callers yesterday to weigh in on that game. But yeah, it's great to have you. And you have a dog now, right? And
I do.
Spend a lot of time. It's like, what, 15 pounds now?
Yeah, he's a biggin'. Wow. He's a biggin'. He's growing like a weed. But
yes.
Love him.
Gotta love that. All right, guys. Well, let's give a little preview. MSU in Iowa tonight. It looks as though we know Dawson's out. Payne will probably miss his 6th straight. Guys, when you look at this game, I'm really worried. It's the same worry I have when you look at the Michigan game. Iowa is a team that goes very, very, very deep into its bench. They use nearly a dozen players throughout the course of a game, something that MSU, you know, being shorthanded without Dawson, without Payne, not a healthy Appling, not a healthy Trice who really needs to gain weight right now. That's what I'm gonna be looking at. Fatigue may be a big factor tonight. Izzo says it will be a game of mental toughness and character. I mean, when you talk about coming off a loss to Michigan, to your biggest rival, I mean, that's something that may be still lingering. They have to put that to bed, come out with a renewed mindset. Again, for me, somebody has to score other than Gary Harris. Point blank, period. I mean, last game he shouldered the load with 27 points. The second leading scorer was Alvin Ellis with 12. Somebody's got to step up on the offensive end. I don't know who that is. I expect Gary to be Gary. Gary is going to be Gary. He has to still come out and have a big game. The health of Keith Appling, I know he's dealing with that wrist injury. That's still bothering him shooting. He was the guy who I thought, other than Gary Harris, needed to step up offensively. If he's not healthy and that injury is still lingering as far as his wrist goes, whoa, mama. I don't know, guys. I really don't know. And Aaron White on the inside, Costello, Ghana, those guys have to be big down there. Push Aaron White. Do not let him get comfortable down there and try to dominate the board somewhat, you know, against Aaron White, because he's a great player and he likes to make his presence known down there. That's what I'm going to be looking for. In the end, my prediction, if I can change it here on the show, I think MSU is going to lose tonight.
You have to look at the rule book for that, Matt. Is he allowed to change a pick the day before?
I mean, the game has not taken place
yet. It hasn't taken place.
You know, ball hasn't been tipped.
Or tip-off. I'm going to change my pick. I think Iowa gets the W tonight.
I'll allow it.
Now, does that have to do with Keith Appling saying about his injuries?
No, the reason I'm changing my pick, I just think that these injuries are starting to catch up with MSU right now. And the fact that Iowa goes so deep into that bench and they can throw fresh bodies at you left and right, and looking at a beaten-up team right now that MSU is, it's going to be tough for them tonight. It's going to be really tough for them tonight. I'm going to change my pick. I'm going with Iowa.
Okay. Well, everything you talked about for this game is pretty dead on. The only thing I would really add to it is stopping Devin Marble. The last time they played him, they didn't have Marble.
Right.
And Marble, in my opinion, is probably the better player, one of the best players on the team.
You know why Marble is so important, too? That's another thing I wanted to hit on. Marble is a guy. He can get you, you know, 15. You know, he can get you double-digit points. The key for Marble is, you know, that Harrison-Marble matchup. Defensively, if he – I don't know how great of a guy he is defensively, but if he can slow down Gary Harris to a degree, that's another key that I think. If Marble can do that to a degree – that's going to be a real key match I'm going to be looking at. Marble versus
Now Harris. With Marble back, everybody on Iowa is playing.
Right,
there isn't
exactly.
one injured player in
it's
Iowa.
It's a 100%
so
healthy machine.
You have a NCAA tourney-ready Iowa team versus a banged-up, three-player injured Michigan State team. So, yeah, I absolutely agree that definitely Iowa could do it. But I think Izzo will get their blood boiling. I think Alvin Ellis now has experience from last game. I think that Kaminsky's gonna shoot the lights out in this one because he had a couple big shots, and same with Trice, but both of them were pretty quiet. I mean, Kaminsky compared to the games before with
Kaminsky
Ohio State and Wisconsin,
quiet.
I mean, he was way more active.
For me,
in those
who really
games.
Stood out, Alvin Ellis was great that game. I mean, he really stood out. I mean, he shows he can score. He was 4-for-4, didn't miss a field goal that entire game. I mean, somebody else is gonna have to really, really play tonight other than Gary Harris offensively. Matt?
Yeah, I think you're right. And Alvin Ellis, more than anything, he passes the eye test because he looks like he is comfortable. He looks like he knows what he's doing.
Yeah.
And he plays his role well. The thing for me, you need more contributions from Kenny Kaminsky, like you said, Alex. Where is Denzel Valentine? Where was
That's
he Sunday?
Thing. He was supposed to be my X factor against Michigan.
Or Saturday. He was out the door. He didn't show up. And when you have Dawson out, you need somebody to step up on the wing. And inside, and Valentine's shown this year that he can be an effective rebounder. He's going to absolutely have to be tonight against Iowa. The other thing we're not mentioning, it's on the road.
Mm-hmm.
Carver-Hawkeye is not an easy place to go in and
not
get a win.
All.
We've
yep.
seen MSU teams that are at full strength lay tremendous eggs there. So they're going to have to be firing on all cylinders, and they were far from that Saturday against Michigan. They have played better on the road this season, and they've even, you know, given quotes as such. You know, we're more comfortable on the road when it's us against everybody. But at the same time, there's not a lot of people left in that us category because they're dropping like flies, it seems like, every game. So I have a tough time seeing MSU pulling out a win. I think it would take just a barrage of three-pointers from Kenny Kaminsky or a Travis Trice because otherwise I just don't know how they're going to keep up with Iowa.
So
Iowa can score.
So who are you going with?
I'm going to take Iowa.
You're taking Iowa. Alex, are you sticking with MSU? You're sticking with – well, you just kind of said it. You're sticking with
MSU.
I'm
going to stick with them because you got to stick with your picks, Al.
Hey, man, I can make a change, baby. There's no clause here. Now, again, Michigan State is going to have to do what Iowa did after they lost to Michigan. If you remember, when Iowa lost to Michigan, they had a huge – I think it was a 26-point win over Northwestern on the road. Michigan State is now in that same predicament coming off a Michigan loss where they have to win, and as Matt said, a very, very tough arena on the road against a very, very good Iowa team. Again, another two other guys to look out for, Basabi and Osalini. Those guys have been great down low for Iowa. Those together, too, have averaged 14.6 points and 11.9 rebounds in 34 minutes of action. Look out for that. So the inside presence for MSU is really going to have to be big. I just don't think they will.
Yeah, Basabe seems like he's been at Iowa for 10 years.
Yes, like
oh
it's
my
nothing.
Gosh.
Like nothing phases him.
And he always plays well against MSU. You're right. It's going to be Ghana and Costello. They have to play them even.
Yes.
You know, they don't have to dominate, but don't get dominated because if they do, it's going to be a long night.
Yes, without a doubt. All right, guys. Well, let's hit the break. When we come back, top five Tuesday, we have a fun one for you. The top five artist athletes of all time. You do not want to miss that. Current Sports comes right back.
Gotta find it before I lose it forever.
for telling me no. Never say never.
Ladies and gents, Jason Kidd. Yes, that is Jason Kidd. Jason Kidd even tried his hand at rap. Jason Kidd, of course, a former point guard in the NBA, now the head coach of the Brooklyn Nets. He got a head coach now. He used to be a rapper. That's just, I don't know why that tickles me so much. That is funny stuff. What's the name of that song, Matt? You know the name of that song? I have no idea, but it was kind of hot. The beat was, there's a trend here with my list, at least. Again, it's Top 5 Tuesday, and we're listing the top five musical artists slash athletes of all time. Well, I should put that other way around. Athletes slash musical artists of all time. And there's a trend. When you talk about, there's so many basketball players who tried their hand at hip-hop. The thing is, I mean, some of the, you know, the production is great. The beats are real. That was a smooth beat. I love the beat, but the lyrics are just awful, just bad. So, guys, let's dive right into it. I can't wait to get to this one. I'll kick it off. Again, top five artists, athletes of all time. If you want to call in and express your list, if we leave anyone off, 517-355-9527. Again, 517-355-9527. You know, number five. We're going to play a bite from Deion in just a second because he's also on Matt's list as well. But Deion Sanders, if you remember, It Must Be the Money. This is during his playing career, and he actually decided to, you know, the great Deion Primetime, arguably the greatest corner of all time. He decided to get into the music industry and produce a track called It Must Be the Money. It was bad, to say the least. We'll play that in just a sec. Number four for me comes from a certain boxer. Here's a snippet. You will not win. Yes, that was who I used to be a huge fan of, Roy Williams. I mean, not Roy Williams, excuse me, Roy Jones Jr. I'm looking at the wrong list here. Roy Jones Jr. Yes, Roy Jones. He was, man, he was something else in his heyday. But yes, Roy Jones Jr. decided to, you know, try his hand at hip-hop and, you know, produced an album, and that was one of the tracks he produced. Again, that was great production, but the lyrics are just bad. All right, number three for me, another guy who decided to try his hand at hip-hop. Kobe Bryant. Kobe Bryant released a hip-hop album, I believe it was during the 90s. Not a great album. He was bad at it. Number two, though. Now, I will say this. Number two on my list, Shaq. Shaq, for me, if out of all of the basketball players who, you know, tried hip-hop, I thought, for me personally, Shaq was the best. I love this track. Aaron, hit this. Stop it, block it, when I drop it. Anytime I go rhyme for rhyme on a topic, they ain't even fit to step in Shaq's arena. I look inside your mind and I see your shook demeanor. In your eyes, why are you surprised? No matter how you try, not fly as Ella Quad. The new edition, is this the end of your last night? In the daytime, you couldn't see me with a flashlight. I crash flights on sights of my enemy. I'm coming through and then I bomb your whole vicinity. Why the act and fake and chat? You're not a friend to me. I peeped your card, you're not as hard as you pretend to be. Who wanna spark it? Yes, Shaq, that was quality lyrics right there, I thought. Real smooth, not the ABC 1-2-3. That was Shaq's Can't Stop the Rain. Shaq was pretty decent at hip-hop. You know, and remember the freestyle he had about Kobe.
How can you forget?
How can you forget that? You know what I mean? Oh, that was off the top of the dome, you know? Shaq was decent. He was decent at hip-hop, okay? And number one for me had to be Bernie Williams. He played his entire 16 career in the Major League Baseball with the New York Yankees from 1983 from 91 through 2006, and he was a very, very good jazz musician. Here's one of my favorite songs from Bernie, entitled Go For It. Oh, that is just smooth. I just want to lay out on the beach and just sip some lemonade listening to that one. That's good stuff. Bernie Williams, again, former baseball player. He's number one on my list because he's really, really good. I mean, he was, again, former baseball player and Latin Grammy-nominated jazz musician. That's good stuff right there. All right, Matt, off to you.
All right, well, before we get too far into it, let's revisit Deion Sanders and a period of his life I'm sure he'd love to forget.
Yes.
Aaron, why don't you just roll that clip?
Well, all right. Yeah. You know, ever since I turned pro in 1989, when I signed a dotted line, it was strange. Most things changed for the better and for the worse. So I called my mama and she said, baby,
I see the money.
Yeah.
I see the money.
It's got to be because I got people who want to be my friend. People I never knew. People I never thought.
Must be the money. Oh, I love that. It's catchy, but it is a terrible track.
I mean, is it any shock that he was on MC Hammer's record label?
Not at all.
Not even a little bit.
Oh, my goodness. You know, in the very first verse of that song, he says, I got my hair done and my nails done,
yep,
too. I'm like, what? Oh, man.
It's unfortunate that this is just radio because the videos for these songs are...
Elaborate.
Unbelievable.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
And that one is no exception. That is crazy. Now, my usual rule for this top five, I like to pick artists, or I guess athletes rather,
mm-hmm,
who accomplish something with their music.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't like because a lot of them, it's just like, you know, I catch the ball, I score the ball, I pass,
right,
the ball. And
yeah,
it's like, we know you're an athlete.
Yeah, you're,
you know,
an athlete.
Like that, we got it. That's the only reason we're listening to this song in the first place, is because we know who you are.
Right.
I can't completely say that I've ruled all those off because there's a couple of just gems, and one of them is Daryl Strawberry, and this classic Chocolate Strawberry.
Oh my goodness.
My name is Daryl, I'm a baseball player. One thing I forgot to say, when I'm on the field, I'm on top of the world. I get screams from all the girls. Everybody in the stadium screams for me. Strike one, strike two, but no strike three. When I'm running, all the players make space. I run, I slide.
That should be number one. That is, I am dying. I was dying when he said that.
If you can rhyme player
with
Saya, I mean, you've got some lyrical talent.
Oh,
there.
That's great.
That is for sure. So Chocolate Strawberry is my number four. Moving into the more serious realm of music, we're going to go with the late, great Wayman Tisdale, who, of course, was a basketball player. And then after his pro career, he decided to get into music. He had a number one record on the Billboard Jazz chart.
Wow. That's
an impressive. Accomplished musician,
yeah,
let alone a basketball player. Here he is with a cover of Barry White's Never, Never Gonna Give You Up. Oh yeah.
I'm gonna light some candles and run a bubble bath tonight. I'm gonna play that track tonight, man.
I mean, it definitely helps that it's a Barry White cover, because Barry White could read a grocery list and it'd be sultry.
Yes,
you know.
Bonus
points.
Wow.
Does anyone know who was singing vocals on that, other than the Barry White drop-ins?
It's another athlete.
It's a famous singer. It's gonna surprise you.
Hmm.
Nobody's gonna get it. I don't even know.
Yeah.
Toby Keith.
Get out of here, really?
Really?
I need to. I'm gonna Google that right now.
Both have big time Oklahoma roots. They were good friends before Wayman's passing in 2009. So yeah, he got him to sing vocals on that.
That's pretty good, man. I need to add that to my my iTunes.
Just a big left turn there from Wayman Tisdale. All right, number two.
Wow.
We already covered it, Al. You already had Bernie Williams as your number one. I have him as my number two, and we'll skip the clip. But just, you know, the Latin Grammy nomination. He signed to Paul McCartney's record label.
That's wow, I didn't know that. Wow.
If there's
big.
A sign of, like, you're a pretty talented musician, I feel like that would be it.
Yeah.
Also, his book, Rhythms of the Game, points to Bernie for the title there.
Yeah.
Is forwarded by none other than Paul Simon. So
wow.
He's got the respect of some titans in the music industry.
He should have just went straight into music, not even.
Yeah, just wasting your time
exactly.
with that.
Exactly. Wasting your time
with the Yankees.
Ball.
Oh, come on.
Yeah.
Come on. Move on. All right. And then number one. Even though it is just talking about what they do on the field, it's got to be the 85 Bears and the Super Bowl shuffle.
Oh, you can't forget this.
We are the Bears, shuffling crew, shuffling on down, doing it for you. We're so bad, we know we're good.
Well, they call me Sweetness, and I like to dance. Running the ball is like making more mans. We had the goal since training camp to give Chicago a Super Bowl champ. And we're not doing this because we're greedy. The Bears are doing it to feed the needy. We didn't come here to look for trouble. We just come here to do the Super Bowl shop.
This is Speedy Willis, and I'm world class.
Oh, man, that's hot. That's hot, man.
It doesn't get any better than that. And
not at all.
Most of it's because it was released before they won the Super Bowl.
Right, right.
That, the chances of that ending poorly were huge,
yeah.
But they were just that good.
That's
they
something.
Back it up and win the
up.
Super Bowl anyway, and now it's probably the most famous sports-related song ever, I feel like.
It's great.
It's got to be up there.
It is definitely up there. You know, I remember seeing that the video was great, too, for it. Oh, my goodness, man. I tell you what, the 80s, I miss 80s music.
Me
it, was,
too.
It was so simple. The beats were simple, a doop doop, you know, and just real simple lyrics, not
no
anything
synthesizing,
over
no synthesizing, nothing
no synthesizing.
I would listen to Chocolate Strawberry, like, on my way to work. Like,
yeah,
that,
I would
it's
too.
A catchy song.
It is a catchy song. I mean, I miss the 80s, man, even though I wasn't born in the 80s, but going back, I mean, it just seemed like a fun time.
Absolutely.
Oh, goodness. All right, Alex, what's your list looks like, man?
All right, guys, great list so far. I actually spiced this up a little bit, and I did top five athletes that did not work out in music. Uh-oh. So I have five athletes on here that just...
Five duds
that didn't startle my musical taste, that didn't connect with me musically. number five, actually, Matt hit it on the head with Deion Sanders. That was my number five.
Mm-hmm.
And just to start... an honorable mention that wasn't on my list. Did you guys know Darren McCarty was actually in a heavy rock band?
Oh yeah,
well,
by the name
that.
Of Grinder.
Grinder.
Yeah.
I had no idea.
Yeah. When I was a little kid, I remember hearing about that. Okay, number four, we've got a fellow Spartan.
World, it's your boy Mo Agar, and we worldwide, America. London, Nigeria. What up, Sion? What up, Vector? Oh, yeah. Y'all know it's on tonight, right? Let's go.
VEC. Oshama.
It's your lady, Sion.
Call me on your payday. We can run the night.
Yeah.
Hub getting raided. We can start a fight.
Okay.
Nobody getting jaded. Throw the dynamite.
Boom.
Ooh, we getting faded. You know it's on the night.
It's on the night for me and my
Mo Agar.
Yeah, yeah. That's called Worldwide. And I just think it's funny because he doesn't say, I mean, I don't know it. He says later in the song, at the beginning, excuse me, he goes, London, Nigeria. I don't think he's performed at any of these venues. I think
he just
that was just part
out.
Of the hype. And I know that's part of music, you know, hyping up your music lyrically with, you know, talking about your reach and things. It didn't buy it for me. And there was one lyric in there that went, "Let me feel your heartbeat, cardiac." I mean, it's redundant. So I don't know. I just thought musically and.
You're really diving in, dissecting these lyrics. Okay.
I mean, music is a very
Mo
this Ager. Is WKR.
That
Come
is
on.
A bad, bad track. Okay, Mo Agar.
But I love the Rose Bowl "Forever I'm a Spartan" track. That was great.
Oh,
love that
yeah,
one.
That's
I don't know if you've heard that.
He's talented.
He's
talented.
Yeah.
Yeah,
he's talented.
But that track just did not
that
do
track
for me.
Was yeah.
Number three, I had Dat Bull for Life.
Oh, he made
the only
the
athlete
oh,
to ever turn down actually playing his sport for music, so I thought that was relevant.
Interesting.
Number two, we've got our boy Shaquille. Yeah, so there's a lyric in there that goes, "Boy in the hood way before Cuba Gooding," and Cuba Gooding hasn't been in the hood or along for that long. So I just thought it was just a silly track. We all know Shaq has skills. The song
that's a clever play on words though, because the movie Boys in the Hood.
Right. But like we all know he has skills. You know what I'm saying? I don't buy him like cross promoting himself through music. I just think that, I don't know, the track didn't buy it. It had a nice, like, 90s beat to it.
I hear it. Yeah, it's the 90s. That's like the 90s me, West Coast.
I don't know. I thought the lyrics were a little bit corny.
Yeah, I mean, so many of them are. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, that's two.
And then my number one was Ron Artest. Not Champions, but the song. Have you ever heard the song Fever by Ron Artest?
I have not.
Ever heard it? Take a listen. It did not really abide with me, so. There is my list of duds of music.
Oh, we don't have Fever?
Oh, no. Okay. I was just saying listen to it.
We're
going to spare the listeners. Spare the listeners. Okay.
It did not make the cuss do do WKAR. Right.
That was a pretty good list, though.
Was it? Thank you.
It was a decent list. Maybe. I mean, there's so many artists, though, who just tried, you know, their hand at music. And there's so many. Because, I don't know if you guys seen ESPN, the magazine. They're actually coming out with a music issue right now. And I saw Kobe Bryant with Nicki Minaj doing a photo shoot together today.
Wow.
They have Kendrick Lamar and Chris Paul. They're teamed up doing a photo shoot. So, yeah, and they have all these various athletes teamed up with artists and trying to show the connection between music and sports. Yeah. And you talk to any you know, there's so many athletes that when you talk to them, they say, yeah, we wish we were artists. You know what I mean? And artists feel as though they wish they were, you know,
right,
athletes.
But no, it's hard.
I mean,
so many.
We've seen the celebrity games at NBA All-Star Weekend.
Yes.
It's not pretty.
The Justin Biebers of the world. Oh, speaking of Justin Bieber, oh my goodness. Just not go there. But yeah, there's so many.
I just want to say it was difficult for some of these artists to make the clean air policy cuts on a WKR. Especially Ron Artest.
Or any radio station.
You can't pick one, besides maybe Champions, but you can't pick any of his rap songs.
You got to make sure the clean version, you know, when you Google it, just say, you know, like the Roy Jones clip, I had to put in clean Roy Jones Jr., and still, he was still popping off at the mouth with some words. But, yeah, I mean, that's how it is, though. Got to love that. All right, real quickly, guys, Kevin Durant, we only got a minute and a half left. Kevin Durant has been unbelievable. How impressed are you with what he's doing right now?
It's great. I don't know about you guys, but I would put him probably in my top 20 of all time at this point.
Oh, top 20 of all time. Right now, Matt, how
top
impressed
top 20
are you?
Of all time?
I think so.
I think he makes my top 20.
That
list
is a tough list. I think he's got to win something before I give him that title, but the streak he's on is insane. He's certainly one of the top 20 scorers of all time. Mm-hmm. And he's doing it all because there's no Westbrook. So it's insane that he's been this consistent.
And
the guy's unstoppable.
So it's not like he's jacking up crap. I mean, his percentages are not bad at all.
No.
Unbelievable. We'll dive into it more tomorrow. But again, thanks so much for all of you out there for tuning in to today's Current Sports. You've been listening to Current Sports with me, Al Martin, on WKAR East Lansing and WKAR FM HD3 East Lansing. As always, take care. Stay warm. It is so cold outside. Have one fantastic day. And be easy, people.